I want to talk this morning about the three characteristics, and we'll be putting the insights into insight meditation. And I want to start with a passage from the Dog Stars, written by a good friend, Peter Heller. The beast refers to the plane he's piloting, the little small propeller plane. And he's going to refer to Bangley's egg basket, which is a gift from a friend. And then his dog, Jasper, who has died, his best friend, his dog, Jasper. So here's the passage. The beast is hungry, pulling at air like an excited horse. I look over the empty right seat, just Bangley's egg basket and the quilt with the hunter aiming at the rising pheasant over and over, crumpled against the door. Even half deaf and stiff, Jasper was a better co-pilot than most men, all men. That it has come to this, life distilled in a ratty blanket. The shot will never hit, the bird never fall, but neither will the hunter ever miss or lose anything. His dog will never die. So the poor guy, he lost his dog, the best co-pilot of anyone. And all he has left is the dog's blanket. Is really pointing in this very poignant way to this fundamental truth of life, that everything changes. And there's two sides of change. We gain things and we lose things. And it just seems like change is hard. We don't like it. I mean, because of change, we age. Because of change, our memories get worse. And there's a cartoon that might explain why the dinosaurs went extinct. Two dinosaurs are sitting on just a tiny clump of earth in the middle of a rising sea. And you can see a boat with pairs of animals, Noah's Ark, going off in the distance. And one dinosaur is saying to the other, "Oh crap, was that today?" So, you know, we don't like aging. We don't like change in this way. But actually change, when you're on the spiritual path, instead of being an enemy, is a great ally. And change really afflicts us because we just aren't seeing clearly how things are. But when we see reality clearly, we see that everything is flowing. Actually, we realize the universe is very kind, even when it's harsh. Change can be very harsh. But what we learn on the meditative path is that all this change is the universe telling us to let go. It's a pointer right at your heart. You know, it's the pointer at our awakened heart. And so the change is a very positive thing because it helps us let go. So we call our meditation practice Vipassana. It comes out of the Theravada Buddhist tradition. And Vipassana means clear seeing. And really, this is the insight. We call it in English insight meditation. That's the translation. And the insight is really targeted at three very specific things, because with the insight, we let go. So we're going to put the insight into insight meditation. We don't have these insights. We don't see clearly because we're identified with our thoughts. We're lost in our thoughts, identified with them. And because of that, we aren't actually seeing reality. We're just seeing our thought worlds, which for the most part is some projection of our past onto what's really happening. So when we loosen the grip of identification with our thoughts, we start seeing how things actually are. And we start having the insights that insight meditation is designed to bring about. Now we can have psychological insights through our practice as we sit with ourselves and watch our minds. We can really make links and see that, oh, wow, so this is why I'm a little cranky today. I didn't really realize it, but actually there's a low level, you know, sort of pain in the body. So we have psychological insights really into the content of our personality. But the insights in insight meditation are not insights into content. They're insights into process. The process of how our mind works, how our experience unfolds. So it's not so much you learn about how you tick. What you learn is the universal truths of how everyone ticks by having insight into process. And what we see, when we see clearly, are the three characteristics, three basic things that the Buddha taught are very, very important to direct our practice towards. We see the truth of change, or anicca. We see the truth of dukkha, which can be translated in a bunch of ways, which I'll talk about. And we see the truth of not self, or anatta. Now, these three insights we can have in a moment into any one of them, or all three. And they're a lifetime practice. You know, we practice for life having these three insights. They're very, very deep insights. And we're geared to these insights because they bring about letting go. The degree to which you see any of these three in your practice is the degree to which you let go. And letting go is basically the way we come into unshakable happiness. The Thai meditation master from the 20th century, Ajahn Chah. So Ajahn Chah said, very famous saying, if you let go a little, you will have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you will have a lot of peace. If you let go completely, you will have complete peace. So if we pull the three characteristics into this understanding of letting go, we can kind of add to what he said by saying this. We'll just take the first of the three, anicca or change. If you see change a little bit, you will let go a little. If you see change a lot, you will let go a lot. If you see change completely, you will let go completely. So this is why we direct our practice towards these three truths, because when we see them, we let go. So when I was on a long retreat and I was really having a lot of clarity just around impermanence, what I was seeing was my experience is changing so fast. My mind is just pinballing off of itself. I think one thought, and then that leads to a different thought and a different thought. And the mind is just, and those thoughts can come from 10 minutes ago or from, you know, when I was a toddler. You know, the memories are just going all over the place. Our experience is actually changing so fast. And when I was finally seeing that, I was in a very let go place because there wasn't even time to grab onto anything. It was just gone. It would arise. And then because I was really very mindful and not in reaction to what was in the mind, it would just get replaced by something else, you know, like this. So when we see into change, we naturally let go the way we would relate to a waterfall, you know? When you see that your experience is like a waterfall, it's just changing like crazy, you're going to do, you know, we can relate to a waterfall in intelligent ways. We can bathe in the stream of it. We can enjoy, you know, the little refraction of light that comes when sunlight, you know, meets the mist of the waterfall. But what you wouldn't do is lean on it. That would just be silly. Right? Nobody leans on a waterfall. So how come we lean on the waterfall of our experience so much? Because we don't see its flow. You know, we substantialize it. We say things like, I had a nice sit, right? We take the 30 minutes of flow that just happened and there were some pleasant moments. So we just reify the whole thing and we call it a thing. It was a nice sit, sort of like there's a book on a shelf or a banana. That's what our mind does. We don't see clearly because we're lost in thoughts. When we see our thoughts, our emotions, our interactions with people, the world outside of us, our bodies is all just flow, then we just let go. So this is why we want to see change. Now, we understand everything changes as a cliche, so that doesn't transform us. What transforms us is actually seeing it, realizing it in your experience. So the second insight after change is dukkha. And it's, this word is typically translated as suffering, but it's not the best translation because it's like saying, oh, yeah, we're always in some kind of suffering place. We're not. You know, we go in and out of good moods and, you know, unhappy moods. Our moods are changing all the time. A better translation of dukkha is unreliable. What's unreliable is anything that's changing. Because we're wanting reliable, true, deep, lasting happiness. But if we base the happiness on flow, the happiness itself will come and go. Another good way to, you know, understand dukkha is it's the basic restlessness of our mind. Our mind isn't settled. Our mind is going to and fro all day long because we only want pleasant experiences. But we get pleasant, we get unpleasant, we get neutral. So restlessness, a kind of fundamental restlessness, might be another way to think about dukkha. When we see this, an example, you know, on retreat at Spirit Rock, and the food is so good there, and, you know, like lunchtime was always this like, oh, great, I get to now have lunch, finally some sensory pleasure. And then you have, you know, oh, roasted artichokes with some kind of like lemon tarragon vinaigrette, you know, oh, man. But when I, you know, when I would really be mindful of the process, yes, it was pleasant, but it was flow. And the flow is not something I could lean on, sit in, rely on. It was just flow. So as William Blake says, I could learn to kiss the joy as it flies, but I have to see that it's flying, it's flow. And when I see that, I see, oh, that you know, lunch solid thing in my mind is actually just flow. And it's not reliable. It's going to arise, it's going to flow, and then it's going to be gone. And then what? So if I rely on that lunchtime for my happiness, I'm only going to have about 20 minutes of happiness in my day. So again, insight into this makes us let go. Okay, cool. Lunch, pleasant, nice. I can enjoy it, but I don't have to be attached. And the third insight, and there's just not time to talk about because it's such a big topic, is insight into not self. And this always confuses people, but the simplest way to understand not self is to just notice that you're not in control. It's only us, you know, if we can control it. We don't think of the weather as us because we don't control it. But we think of this body and our thoughts as us. We have some limited control over our bodies and our thoughts. But for the most part, our bodies just do what they do. You know, we can feed our bodies, but then the bodies do everything else. Our thoughts just do what they do. So our thoughts and our bodies and our emotions, for the most part, are out of our control. And it's a relief to see this because we can let go. So these are the three characteristics. I want to just guide a little bit, a minute of meditation. So if you would close your eyes and let your attention go to one of your hands and notice the sensations here. And just notice if there's anything like pulse or throb or flutter or tingle or buzz. These are vibrations. And even though they are lasting, they're just change. It's just energy that's changing. And we can understand that if it's changing, it's not really reliable. It's flow. You can't lean on this just for permanent happiness. It's too flowing for that. It's just flow. So it's not ultimately reliable. That's the second characteristic of dukkha. And let's notice the third characteristic. Who's doing this pulsing, buzzing, throbbing, fluttering? Notice that you're not directing this. The body is just manifesting flow. This is the insight of not self. I think I'm in control of this body, but really, the body has a mind of its own. So we can see right there, just in a simple experience of our hands, the three characteristics. And again, when we see this a little bit, we'll let go a little. When you really deepen the practice and see it a lot, you'll let go a lot. And when you have complete insight into the three characteristics, you will be fully awake.